Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Wow, that's a sassy lead-in to Frank Vassalero. Welcome back.
Hey, Frank.
Oh, come on. Is he really not there? Frank, are you not there? What a stinker you are right now.
Are you hiding?
You even had cool music. And had great music. Okay, anyway, look, we got a lot to discuss, even though Frank is not there. Although I did want an update. Frank said he was going to talk about those teens that were detained by Minneapolis Park Police after a misleading 911 call. And then, of course, Governor Dayton assessing flood damage today in the northern part of the state. So that's all going to be on Channel 4 at some point.
Right. And we'll see if Frank shows up.
We'll see if he shows up. In the meantime, here's what we can read to you, because, of course, the big story of the day is the Trump-Putin summit. We played you some sound. Mm-hmm. We started with reaction. We chose the Republican senators. The reaction was scathing. You know, obviously, John McCain called it pathetic, and the Republican senators really had nothing good to say about it. We gave a woman from the RNC a little airtime.
Who said, basically, give him time. This is part of a broader strategy. Don't hold this under the microscope. But a lot of people are holding it under the microscope.
Right. And we took your calls. And we will continue that conversation at 5 p.m. Susan Blanche reached out to all of our lawmakers here locally. On Amy Klobuchar's Facebook page, she said this. The president was asked specifically if he believes his intelligence officers or Putin. He refused to side with the Americans who have dedicated their lives to serving our country. Instead, he chose to side with the man who attacked our democracy. That is our Senator Amy Klobuchar.
I think we have Frank.
Yeah, we do, but just a second.
Oh, Susan is saying just a second. Frank, are you causing trouble? No, we got nothing. All right, that's okay. We can totally move on. We can absolutely move on. We'll move on to whether
there. Just so you know.
Okay. He's in there, but we can't hear him.
We're having some technical issues. Frank is actually there. We're texting back and forth. So
can you use semaphore? Maybe Morse code. Just tap out the news, Frank.
I'm so sad.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I've been here. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi, honey.
What's going on?
Apparently, we're having a technical problem.
Oh, I didn't. I only touched what I usually touch.
Yeah.
In terms of the buttons.
Which is
anything.
Always a good idea.
Thank you. So, sorry about that.
Welcome back. Were you on vacation last week, sir?
No, you know, it was my mom's funeral.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
So we did that on Friday, and, I think it went as well as it could. And,
how are you doing, Frank? I know it's a dumb question.
It's just so strange, you know. It's like 4th of July was really sad. My mom loved fireworks, you know. I mean, she had, like, great optimism for everything. But, like, that brought back memories. And she wouldn't make an apple pie on 4th of July. She'd make a huge apple pie sheet. So there's just things like that, and you're like, well, we'll have to carry it on because that's, you know, it's just life is different, you know.
It's weird, too, because and everybody is different. Everybody processes grief differently. But what I found is that the waves hit you when you least expect it, like a memory pops in.
Like fireworks.
Something reminds you of your mom.
And
I don't know. Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to work.
We had a huge outpouring of cousins, her nieces and nephews, which was great. But, you know, when you're 94, you just outlive a lot of your peers, you know? I mean, one aunt that was there that was 87 and one that's 89, but they're just, you know, there aren't just a ton of them left. But it was cool seeing all my cousins, and they enjoyed it, and we told some really great stories about my mom. And so, you know, it was as upbeat and positive as possible, and then hopefully we gave her a good send-off.
Beautiful. That's beautiful, Frank. I have no doubt she would have been pleased wherever she was watching you guys laughing along with you.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Should we do a little news?
Whatever you guys want. Yeah, I'm glad I'm with you. I'm sorry about whatever tech was happening.
Well, here you are now.
Yeah.
Right? We're moving forward. We're futurists today.
There you go.
Moving forward. That crazy story about these kids that were detained in Minnehaha Park?
Yeah, by the park police.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Well, you know, it happened last Tuesday, and then someone videotaped the whole thing, and so it went viral, and a lot of people watched it, and, you know, the kids are young, 14 years old, but the police get a 911 call, and they say, that there are some boys holding knives and sticks, and one of them has a gun in his backpack. So the police come in pretty hot, right, because they're concerned about this.
Sure.
So they get the kids, they handcuff them, they put them on the ground. The kids are really, really scared. The police search them. They don't find any weapons. So what they're working on now is they find out that someone drove by and did some kind of racial slur to the boys beforehand. They're Somali youth. And it looks like it's a case of making a false police report, which is a crime. So the park police are trying to find out who made that 911 call, because unfortunately, in some parts of the country, and maybe now it might be happening here, some people are calling in to report false crimes, particularly against minorities. And that's what they think that they might be dealing with. So they're still investigating it. There's an independent investigator. The kids are afraid, you know, they're afraid because someone said something to them. They're afraid to kind of leave the house going, I wonder if this is going to happen again. And they're, you know, and their parents and their mothers are a little bit concerned about what went down. So just, a huge, I guess you can't call it a misunderstanding because it looks like it might have been a crime.
Well, just to be clear, the kids didn't do anything wrong.
Kids didn't do anything wrong. They did not have guns. They did not have knives. They did not have sticks. Someone went by, called a racial slur. Next thing you know, a few minutes later, the police get a 911 call. So they're, you know, you can't assume, but they're trying to connect the dots, going, I wonder if who went ever by and said the nasty words to these kids was the same person who made the 911 call, which was not a correct 911 call. And that's making a false report to the police, which is a crime.
Of course. God, I feel bad for those kids. I mean, that's traumatic enough.
Right.
Being handcuffed by, first of all, what happened to them with the racial slur, but then being handcuffed by police and they're kids. Somehow you think you've done something wrong.
I had a horrible run-in with a cop when I was 16. He was just a jerk. Oh, he's just such a bad guy.
Why? Did he handcuff you?
No.
What did you do?
I pulled into McDonald's and yelled at a friend of mine, and they were there, and I think they were expecting trouble, and I was with a totally different group, and they just assumed, like, oh, well, the troublemaker showed up. And, I mean, it was harmless, and it was horrible, and, like, in hindsight, everything the cop did was wrong, and he was a jerk, and everyone that kind of knew him was a jerk, but no one said anything, you know. And so he just he hassled me and detained me and made my friends walk home and, you know, started, you know, just talking all kinds of nasty stuff to me, and I went home and I was really shaken up, right? Because I grew up with this huge respect for the police, and then you run into a jerk, and it shatters your trust. So that happened once to me. So imagine if it happens four or five times to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're the kind of person, you know, in a minority class that's, you know, getting this
pulled
kind of
over every other day,
it gets worse. So yeah, I mean, I can see, especially if you're a little kid, young kid, why it's bad. But yeah, I hope they find whoever made the call. That's the key to the whole thing.
There are a few bad apples everywhere, right?
Right.
You have to resist the gravitational tug to cast aspersions on everybody because you had a bad experience.
And then, you know, luckily I was smart enough to realize that, because I knew some cops just from, you know, running into them here and there that were that seemed great.
Of course.
And totally,
but you have to have
people.
More positive interactions than negative interactions. So
yeah.
So you know the truth of it. If your only interaction is negative, that's not good. That's why it's so important for the police to go into schools, to be around in the neighborhoods, to show that they're there to help.
The other important thing, too, is when you have, like, bad people in your fraternity, you should make it clear that there are bad people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's sometimes it gets ridiculous that people get defended the way they do just because they're in a group, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So Frank has a record.
Good to know.
Yeah,
troublemaker at the McDonald's.
Wow. Yeah.
Learned something here.
The times I was arrested, it was a much more pleasant experience.
Oh,
than just
we'll
the
hear
time
about
I was
that
harassed,
on the next
so.
Edition.
Yeah, that's too bad we're out of time.
Frank Vassalero.
Yeah.
All right, Frank. Thank you, sir. We're glad we hung in there.
Yeah,
and,
sorry about that, guys. I'm not sure. I don't think I did anything different over here. But
I think Angela may have sabotaged you.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
She likes to do that.
I'm going to go take care of that right now.
See you tomorrow.
All right, bye, you guys.
Thanks, Frank.
It's a beautiful day. Could you just do whatever you did today for the rest of the summer?
Done.
Weather therapy.
The next 2 weeks, yeah. Some big changes on the way, which you may or may not like. That's next on CCO. This is Cool in the Gang.
Oh, well done.
What?
I don't know. Are they? Well, Cool in the Gang are mostly male. Are there women in Cool in the Gang?
I think they're all men.
They're all dudes.
So if you're looking for a pronoun, well, you'd have to get permission from them. To say.
Is that how you do it?
The men.
How would you like to be called?
How would you like to be addressed? Yes. How would you like to be addressed? My kid, my 14-year-old, we were at a dinner party a few months back, and she met another 14-year-old. So she went up and introduced herself. Hi, I'm, you know, so-and-so, and how are you? Because it was all adults, right? So she went up.
Mm-hmm.
So this young person she's chatting with, and this person tells her, this person tells my daughter, her name is, the person's name is Max. And Marley goes, oh, hi, nice to meet you. She's not thinking anything of it because she's just Marley, whatever. And Max looks at her and goes, oh, well, I assume you identify as a female. And my kid's like, whoa, that's like a not a lead into a conversation. You know, they were going to talk about 13 Reasons Why and, you know, prom or like or football. Or, and she looks at her. She goes, yes. And Marley had no response. She didn't know what she didn't know what to say, like, how do you identify? And it's not that she's not aware of these conversations, but I guess she had never been so pronounced, there's got to be a word there, had been faced with that right in her face.
So nobody wants to, at least I don't want to discriminate
against
anybody.
Not.
I don't want
not.
To offend anybody
absolutely
more
not.
Than I usually offend them. And yet how do we make sure that it just doesn't become PC craziness where we're all
stop.
Afraid to say anything?
Stop talking to anybody.
All right.
Stop. Just become a
just
hermit.
Stop talking. Duct tape. I'm telling you. I'm one step away. Have you been enjoying the summer?
Yeah,
you like
great.
You like it hot.
Love
you
it hot.
You are a hot weather lover, yes.
I love it.
May 1st through last Friday through July the 13th was the hottest on record, following the fourth coldest April on record. Of course, we remember the
miserable.
Blizzard, and
mm-hmm.
people
yeah,
said,
miserable.
Oh, my God, woe is me. We're not going to have a real summer, Paul. We're going to get cheated.
We did say that.
And so often in the summer, we do get cheated, mm-hmm. where the storm track sets up right over Minnesota, and the weekends are washouts, and you get to September, and people shrug and say, well, wasn't much of a summer. We're having a real summer this year, no
it's
doubt
fantastic.
About that. First half of meteorological summer, yesterday technically the midpoint of summer, the 90 hottest days, roughly June 1st to Labor Day. So you could say, all right around July 15th, that's the midpoint.
I need more summer.
Oh, we're going to get plenty more 80s and 90s.
I need it.
But at least for the next 2 weeks, we're going to get a consistent flow out of Canada. So the heat okay. wave shifts to the south and west, and we will be enjoying many days with highs in the 70s
okay.
and lows dipping into the 50s. So still very pleasant. Mild enough for the lake for most people. Some people will complain, but quite a shift in the pattern. Now, not to say that by mid or late August, we won't get back into the 80s and 90s.
Like
usually
it.
Right around the state fair.
Yeah, right. Just in time to Schwitz out there.
Just in time. We have not gone below 60 degrees in the Twin Cities since June the 13th at night.
Nice.
We have not had a low cooler than 60. For 32 consecutive days. The record streak is 58 days in a row with nighttime lows above 60. That was back in 1935. Back in 2012, we had 52 days in a row with nighttime lows above 60. And 45% of the corn crop now in the silking stage. That is 6 days ahead of the five-year average, according to the USDA. The corn crop conditions decreased slightly with a rating of 77% good to excellent. Soybeans are blooming 56%, 4 days ahead of average. 15% of soybeans setting pods, 5 days ahead of average. Soybean conditions rated 75% good to excellent. So not to minimize the flooding problems, especially southwestern and south central Minnesota. A lot of farmers trying to recover from that. We've turned a pretty big corner. The pattern not ripe for anything severe. It's been very quiet on the tornado front and the hail front. So some good news there. But the big news is we cool off. And even in the metro, I think we're going to see some lows dipping into the 50s the next couple of nights. So a little free air conditioning courtesy of Canada. You know, we blame Canada much of the winter. Meteorologists talk about Canadian Arctic fronts, Canadian
those
cold fronts.
Damn Canadians.
They're launching another attack.
Maple cookies but cold weather.
This time of year, to get a front coming in from Alberta, Saskatchewan, that's good news for most people. And today was just about as perfect as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you missed out today, tomorrow even nicer. We hang on to it Wednesday. The next chance of rain on Thursday, Jura.
And by the way, we love the Canadians.
We do love the Canadians, yes. They're generally likable.
Maple cookies. Tim Horton.
Hosers.
We like it all.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's also 4:30. When we get back, we're going to go like so far beyond the headlines, you're going to forget what happened today. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if you could forget
today?
All the bad stuff?
I can't remember.
Just
what happened
today? Just be entertained.
Today?
We'll try after the news.
To infinity and beyond.
The headlines.
Sure, do you worry about the national debt?
I lay up at night worrying. I'm pulling out my eyebrows because of this.
Well, you have three kids. I have two kids.
Yeah, worry about my dad. I got and a mortgage, honey.
You know, there's a lot of other noise, a lot of other concerns, but many people, many alleged experts, economic experts, are concerned about the size of the debt. Mm-hmm. If anybody asks, and I worried about this when Obama was president,
I'd worry
about it now with Trump as president. The U.S. national debt, $21,211,503,000,000 and change.
That's a lot.
And there's some concern, will America's massive debt swamp our military? With a son in the Navy, this is something that caught my eye. The U.S. government carries so much debt, it could swamp national defense priorities.
Well, what do you mean by swamp? Like we'd go to paying off the debt and not put our money toward military?
Not have enough money to support the strongest military in the world. This is the Brookings Institution. According to USA Facts, they are a nonpartisan civic initiative aimed at making government data accessible. Total government debt in 2016, that's the most recent year we have data, was $16.6 trillion. That's the debt service. I'm sorry, no, that's the actual debt itself. That's up 1,600% since 1980.
Oh my God.
Brookings warns that the federal debt threatens to consume all other spending, including defense, in the coming decade. More than $297 billion went to paying interest on the debt in 2016. That number has risen to $316 billion this year. By 2028, if nothing is done, debt service is expected to cost $915 billion, roughly equal to what was spent on Social Security 2 years ago. The largest mandatory spending programs are interest on the debt, then Social Security, then Medicare.
Don't you hate paying interest?
Well, can you almost $1 trillion in debt service by 2028?
Your computer's stressing me out. He has usdebtclock.org up on his computer.
Yeah, you want to get dizzy. Dizzy and depressed.
Ticking numbers rising and rising, and it doesn't stop.
I'm going to click away. Back
Please.
To TMZ.
Click away. It's stressing me out. A CVS Health is apologizing after a black customer says a white store manager in Chicago accused her of trying to use a phony coupon. Ay, ay, ay. This is the same story over and over again. Camilla Hudson posted cell phone video of one of the managers appearing nervous. Maury Mattson's left hand shakes as he called police around 11:30 Friday. 53-year-old Hudson says another manager directly challenged her when she tried to use the manufacturer's coupon for a free product. She says that he was hostile. Facebook video shows Mattson talking to police on the cell phone. No action was taken when the officers arrived. CVS apologized. They say the company doesn't tolerate discrimination against customers, and it's investigating the matter. Have you ever tried to use an expired coupon?
I was once wrestled to the ground.
Wrestled to the ground?
Yeah.
This happened to me. I was at Dick's the other day, and I had a coupon in my I just keep a little container of coupons in one of my wallets. I said, oh, look, I have a coupon. And she said, this is expired. I said, okay. There were no police that were called. I did not throw a fit. I did not have a fight. But if somebody's trying to use a coupon, that's also not any reason to call police on them. So back away from the register.
I would think they're a little overreacting. Just a tad.
You think?
So what do you think of paid family leave? Is America ready for paid family leave?
We have that.
Well, not to the extent that many people want, including Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter.
Tell me more.
Who's also a White House advisor, is calling for a bipartisan approach to paid family leave. Ivanka writes that paid family leave underscores certain conservative principles, including, quote, a way to forge more tightly bonded families and protect infants and parents at their most vulnerable. Fiscal hawks recognize the efficiency of increasing workforce attachment and minimizing government dependence. And also, the U.S. fertility rate has been declining since the 80s. At its current Currently, it's at its lowest level in 30 years. If executed responsibly, Ivanka wrote in a Fox News op-ed, paid family leave is targeted government action with the right incentives designed to increase the independence, health, and dignity of our citizens.
I'm all for it.
So she's getting behind paid family leave and strengthening paid family
leave. Does it say how long? How long she wants it for?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, when I was working, when I was over at Fox, I got first 12 weeks of paid family leave. And then my second leave, they changed the policy, which is great. And then the second time, it was 6 weeks of paid family leave. It was great. I was home with my kids for 3 months after I gave birth to them. And then I went back to work. I could have used a year. Sure, that'd be fantastic because then you're done nursing. You know, then you have to go back to work and you have to pump milk. And it's a whole Gonsa Magilla. It would be nice if it was a year. But I get it. People have to do business. So I thought 3 months was good for me.
Finding that balance.
But paid. It was 100% paid, which was right. Great. The policy over at Fox was really good. We were owned by News Corp.
So I found it interesting. The fertility rate has been declining since the 80s mm-hmm. at the lowest level in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what
AI,
can we
baby.
Do to
we
encourage
AI.
People to have, you know, more kids? And oh, boy. All right.
Well, this is a breaking story. This is fascinating. A Washington-based pro-gun activist affiliated with the NRA has been charged with spying in the U.S. for Russia. Maria Butina, this has been, by the way, vetted by three different news organizations now. Maria Butina was charged with conspiracy to act as an agent of the Russian Federation within the U.S. without prior notification to the Attorney General. She's 29, just a youngster. She was arrested Sunday and appeared before a magistrate in Washington today, according to the Justice Department. She's known as a protege of Alexander Torshin, a Russian former state banker who met our president for dinner at the NRA's 2016 convention. Torshin was placed under sanction by the U.S. in April of this year. The Justice Department press release says Butina has been developing relationships with U.S. persons and infiltrating organizations having influence in American politics for the purpose of advancing the interests of the Russian Federation. The good news here is that hopefully we're finding more people that are doing damage and we're getting them out.
Well, we've always had spies, right?
Right. I mean, we want to hear about it. We want them out. So find them and get them out.
All right. Did you see this story? A woman found alive 7 days after driving off a cliff in California.
Oh my gosh, unbelievable.
Yeah, she
was. And she was a mess, too. Didn't she have like a brain hemorrhage? She was alive.
After 7 days, she was discovered by chance by a couple on a camping trip. Chelsea and Chad Moore were hiking Friday. They spotted a Jeep Liberty at the bottom of a 200-foot cliff. They gathered items from the scene, including the Jeep's license plate, to bring to authorities. And then they located the driver, Angela Hernandez, who was discovered injured but in stable condition. To stay hydrated, she told officials she used a radiator hose from her vehicle to siphon water from a stream.
Unbelievable story.
She's alive. She's talking. Now she's in the hospital. She's a fighter. She's expected to recover, but can you imagine?
Unbelievable. I mean, and
a
she
week?
How a week?
A week.
No food. I am unless what
I don't know how
car.
She survived plunging off a 200-foot cliff. That is a miracle.
Crazy. Blake Shelton fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like he recently took a spill at a concert. Right.
What happened there?
It was kind of his fault. All right. A 42-year-old country crooner fell, that's exactly right, Sue, during a performance at the Pendleton Whiskey Music Fest.
Ah!
Keyword is whiskey there in Oregon over the weekend.
All right.
Following the show, Shelton took to Twitter to crowdsource a video of his tumble. He wrote, "Okay, Pendleton, I know somebody is bound to have a video of me falling on stage last night. Please, I have to see it. Post that bleep. And yes, I had been drinking a lot." In a second tweet, the Honeybee singer jokingly blamed his fall on trying to one-up Pitbull. Oh, I love me some Pitbull. One-up Pitbull, who was also performing at the Pitbull. He said, "Pitbull, I blame you. It was my attempt at competing with you." He wrote, "I am a dancing son of a blank when I don't take a 10-second giant blank fall." So he was laughing at himself, admitted he was a little loaded, and had some fun with it.
Got some PR.
There you go.
All you have to do is take a fall and you get PR. All right, real quick. Last remaining Blockbuster video store. Do you still go to Blockbuster?
I used to love going to Blockbuster Video.
It was kind of cool being able to see everything right in front of you and browse.
That's a whole like high school experience.
The last one is in Bend, Oregon. And they are determined to hang in there with Netflix and HBO and Hulu. You know, most people now are streaming. But this store in Bend, Oregon, 150 miles southeast of Portland, the final survivor of the once popular chain after two Blockbuster stores in Alaska just recently closed. There used to be thousands of these.
Thousands on every corner. They were great.
And I'm just waiting for my 8-track to come back.
All right.
Bell bottoms to come back.
Oh, wait till you hear this. Whatever. Sports, schmortz. But Mike Mack just finished his very first ever triathlon.
I did. On Saturday, I did it.
And I'm so proud of you.
Thank
you.
Impressive.
It was different. It was a sprint triathlon, so that's not the international for people that separate because I don't want to take credit for what I didn't. But I did it's like a half-mile swim at Lake Nokomis and then a 14-mile bike and a 3.1 or 3.5, it feels like 30-mile run at the end. And Lifetime Fitness has been doing this for years.
Sure.
And Natalie Bouchard and some of the people out there, I've always talked to Kerry Sutherland, they said, you should try this.
Did you do this on a dare?
Not on a dare, but I looked at it and I said, okay, here's what I'm doing for a workout. If I just increase it some, I bet I could do this. And, you know, the goal is just to finish, not to win, obviously.
Clearly.
So Saturday you go out there and you get out there. It doesn't start until 9, but you got to be there at like 7. And so this is all new to me. And a lot of little things like you, the swim is the first thing. So at your station where you park your bike, you can't bring your running shoes down to the swim station. Well, I don't have any other shoes. So now you got to go barefoot for a couple hours, you know, and wait to go swimming. And then just little things, you know, could have brought flip-flops, could have lots of little things. But it was really well organized, and even for a first-timer. And really, it was tougher than – it was tougher than I thought it was going to be. It really exasperated me by the end in a good way. You know, I felt good at the end. But you felt like, can I have 3 Gatorades right now, please, and pour one over my head while I drink the other one.
I'm amazed you're not crawling on all fours.
It's hard to explain. I mean, I felt pretty good the rest of the day, and then about 8 at night, just boom, it hits you. And then the next day, yesterday, I came in here early before the show, and I worked out, just get the blood flowing again for a half hour. I felt great. Then all of a sudden, about 1 in the afternoon, you go, holy cow, I just want a nap. That kind of a, you know, your body just got shocked, you know? But it was fun, and I'd like to do it in a different state sometime.
So you'd do it again.
They'd have them, like, in New York, Chicago. I think it'd be a fun way to see a city, you know? Yeah. And here's the thing.
And I don't know. I would be with you for days.
I like the hop-on-hop-off buses. That's how I like to see.
There was an 85-year-old participating.
No.
So you're so inspired and so energized by all these people that are much older than you doing it. And it's fun to be around positive energy, right?
Sure.
That's all that's there is positive energy, positive people that are cheering for each other and trying to do this, and they've worked hard. So it's really a fun atmosphere.
So let's talk Twins.
Yep.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Comeback last night. They're on fire.
Yep.
Got some real momentum. The All-Star game tomorrow in Washington, D.C. What can Mr. Berríos look forward to there?
He might get an inning in. I've looked at their pitching staff, but in general – they usually try to get everybody in the game.
Right.
And so he may throw an inning for the American League in that one. He's just thrilled to be there kind of thing.
Sure.
So whatever he gets, he'll be thrilled with. The game itself it's still fun. I don't know. Back in the day, they didn't have interleague play, so a lot of times this was your only chance to see a National League team and all these guys in one field.
Right.
It's a little bit different now, but it's still a pretty good spectacle. They'll have the home run derby tonight, and they'll do some different things. But Berríos will be used, you know, maybe sparingly out of the bullpen.
What's going right for the Twins now? I mean, things seem to be gelling.
Great question.
Premature to get excited?
A little premature. Two things. They played a couple bad teams, but then they played Tampa, who was good, and they still won 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
But they're doing it with chicken wire, really, because Logan Morrison's out now, Byron Buxton's out, Miguel Sano's out. They're finding ways to manufacture runs. And unlike the road trip, when they either pitched well or hit well but didn't do the other, they did both. They did both together during this. And their starting rotation is still pretty good and the key to this team. So they're still 6 games under .500, but they start with Kansas City, so they should be good coming out of the break.
And you did something, you worked out with the Vikings?
Yeah, that was for TVB's next. I shouldn't put these things so close together, but I did a Vikings offseason workout with the Vikings today with their trainer.
You're a lunatic.
Could you hit your head?
Did you fall down the stairs? I got to tell you, it is so much more scientific than you'd ever imagine. I'll talk about it more at a different time.
I'm anxious to hear more about
but
that.
But it's so much more scientific. Every position has a different workout and a different something. And you just can't believe the great detail they go to get it right.
Wow.
Impressive Mike Max.
That's not quite. Tired.
Basking
and Ron
Scherer
is going to be on tonight because I understand his fishing didn't go so well on Saturday with Bruce Boudreau. Bye-bye.
Smack!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.